Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Before the break, Meghna presented what might be a familiar scenario to you. You're in a restaurant, your waitress approaches your table with your meal, and then
she sneezes.
Ah, yes. And you wonder, if she's got a cold, why isn't she at home?
Well, we're asking this question because currently the United States has no national sick leave law. And just last month, Connecticut became the first state in the country to enact a law requiring paid sick leave to most hourly employees.
Massachusetts may become the second state. Two bills on Beacon Hill would mandate paid sick leave for all Massachusetts employees. The proposals, if passed, would go farther than Connecticut's law.
Which is why many advocates say now is exactly the time to be pushing for paid sick leave in the Commonwealth. While small business owners and retailers say, in the midst of a recession with the state not yet fully rebounding, you couldn't ask for a worse time to yoke employers with another unfunded mandate from the state.
The debate over sick leave. That's today's talker.
Are you someone who doesn't get paid sick leave? And can you afford to get sick? Or listeners, can you not afford not to work? And business owners, what impact would a mandatory paid sick leave law have on you? Would it be a job killer? Or could it make you possibly more productive if unhealthy employees stayed at home? And to my mind, here's really the question that deserves an answer. Does it have to be workers versus businesses? When it comes to sick leave policies, is there a way to create a better working environment and a better business environment simultaneously in Massachusetts? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining us now in the studio is Elizabeth Tulin. She is coordinator of the Massachusetts Paid Leave Coalition and a senior attorney at Greater Boston Legal Services. Elizabeth Tulin, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having us. We're happy to be here.
Also with us today is William Vernon. He is Massachusetts State Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Mr. William Vernon, welcome to you.
Welcome. Thank you.
It's great to have both of you today on what is a topic that seems to be gaining momentum, not just here in Massachusetts, but definitely across the country as well. But let's focus on the Commonwealth first. Elizabeth Tulin, you have said in the past that a million workers in the state of Massachusetts currently get zero, not one paid day of sick leave. Who are these people?
These workers are primarily low-wage workers who are struggling to get by. They need every bit of pay that they get in order to meet their living expenses. They can't afford to go even without one day's pay. It can affect their ability to put food on the table and pay the rent. In addition to those 1 million workers in Massachusetts who lack access to a single paid sick day, more than one-third, that's one-third of the state's workforce, there are over 50% of our workforce doesn't have access to any paid sick days to take care of a sick child or an elderly parent.
Okay, so we're talking about a large number of people in Massachusetts.
We are.
There are two bills pending on Beacon Hill. If I read them correctly, they, as we stated, if passed, would mandate up to seven earned paid sick days over the course of the year for all employees at all businesses in Massachusetts. There's no limit. This would cover everybody.
That's correct. And the workers have to earn it. So in order to get those 7 days, a worker has to work 40 hours a week for 50 weeks straight to get the 7 days. The workers earn that sick time at the rate of 1 hour for every 30 hours worked.
Okay, so Bill Vernon, I'm going to come to you in just a moment, but I guess Elizabeth Tulin, the sort of underlying question for you is, why now? Why is it that you and your fellow advocates and workers believe that this is the time that we should be passing a mandatory paid sick leave law in Massachusetts?
Well, Meghna, I think that you pointed out in the opening of the show clearly the public health implications. It's huge. Everyone's health is at risk when workers show up sick. We had a doctor who treated a woman who was a pastry chef, and she had an oozing infected sore. She was told if she didn't show up for work that day, don't come back. And her doctor told her, you cannot go to work. You need to, that wound needs to heal. You're putting your health at risk and the public's health at risk. And she went to work.
Okay.
So we can't afford that.
So a public health argument there, Bill Vernon. I guess your response from the perspective of independent businesses in Massachusetts.
Well, I think there's several responses. One is the cost that you pointed out that this is a situation in Massachusetts where we have not created one net new job in more than a decade, and it's because we have a lot of these Massachusetts-only costs imposed on small businesses, which should be, historically have been, the job incubators of Massachusetts and across the country, and they haven't done it for more than 10 years. But this particular bill also has a one-size-fits-all aspect to it, and but when the impact comes out, it's not one-size-fits-all. It's a disparate impact on small businesses and on certain industries, like the retail industry, the hospitality industry, those industries that have a lot of part-time employees or a lot of seasonal employees, and but particularly for small businesses, which has our members have an average of 5 employees. That's 20% of the workforce. It affects every other employee in the business. It affects productivity. And I'd say one more thing here is that the people that have not been mentioned, were not mentioned at the hearing, that don't have sick leave, and that's small business owners. They don't have sick leave because if they don't show up, then the business doesn't operate.
And the hearing that you referred to was the hearing held on Beacon Hill last week in front of the committee that's currently got these bills. Bill Vernon, let me follow up with you on one thing. There are a lot of competing numbers in terms of the baseline, the cost, the economic impact of imposing mandatory paid sick days across the Commonwealth. I don't want to get too far into competing numbers, but just to give some people a sense, do you have any estimates on what it would cost a business or what it would cost Massachusetts if we were to have basically this universal sick leave policy?
Well, I think it would cost millions of dollars, but I don't have any specific numbers. And I think one of the problems is that is what I spoke about was the disparate impact. You have a business of 2 or 3 people, the impact is huge. You have a business where people go to work 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, and there's 500 employees, then the impact is much less if somebody is out and has sick leave. These issues, family leave, sick leave, are worked out every day in the workplace in tens of thousands of small businesses across Massachusetts. And it may be a nice idea to have a mandatory statewide program, but I happen to believe, and small businesses happen to believe, that this is one area that the state best stay out of, and that these issues be resolved.
Okay, so Elizabeth Tulin, I mean, I've read, for example, since Connecticut did pass its law just last month in mm-hmm. June, and we should be clear, the Connecticut law only applies to businesses that have 50 employees or more, if I understand that correctly, and it limits the law to service workers who receive an hourly wage. It exempts manufacturing companies and nonprofits. So basically, restaurant employees, cooks, waiters, waitresses, even hairstylists or nursing home aides. I mean, there's a large group of people, nevertheless, that fall under the Connecticut law. But the Connecticut Business and Industry Association gave one estimate saying that the cost of 1 hour for paid sick time weekly for a company with 50 employees who get paid roughly $10 an hour, the cost of that business would be $20,000. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but these are not usual economic times we're living in. I mean, there are many small businesses, I know you probably heard from them in the hearing last week, who said, I'm not even making that much in profit at the end of the day.
Actually, Megra, the businesses that showed up at the hearing largely testified in support of the bill. And what the studies that you're citing from Connecticut failed to take account of is the benefit to Massachusetts employers, which has been calculated statewide at $348 million. And this is attributed to the lack of turnover. Okay, so if we're talking about trying to hold on to jobs, a way to attract and retain employees and develop loyalty is to provide a benefit like paid sick days. And economists have looked at this and said it's one of the policies employers should be adopting to reduce turnover. The next is, included in that figure, is the lack of spread of disease in the workplace, which then leads to lost productivity. So the question is, take a look at what happened with H1N1. You had 8 million Americans came to work sick with H1N1 the swine flu, and proceeded to infect 7 million more workers. Can we afford that in this economy to do that? Can we have people showing up to work, unable to work because they're sick themselves, or they're worried about a sick child or, you know, an elder parent that needs attention in a hospital?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are talking about the debate over a proposed mandatory paid sick leave bill in Massachusetts. I want to know if you're out there and you're a worker who doesn't get sick pay or sick time off for sick, what do you make of this proposal on Beacon Hill? And if you're a business owner, does this sound like a good idea to you to help maybe increase productivity amongst healthy workers at your business? Or is this a proposal you could not afford? And here's the big question that I really want to know. I mean, why does there have to be a divide between employees and employers? Is there a way to a more civilized and economically robust commonwealth that takes both into account? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. There's a lot more details I want to dive into with both of you, but we actually already have a full load of callers who want to get into this conversation. So let's start with some of them. Sean is calling from Haverhill. You're on the air, Sean.
Hi, yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I currently work 40 hours a week. I'm full-time in downtown Boston. For retail, I actually get 7 days sick pay a year. But I'm curious about the loopholes that might be and how to catch them with the legislation. In other words, if someone needs to bring in a doctor's note, you know, they're going to the doctor, they're going to have to pay that bill, the copay, et cetera. How will they prove that these people are home sick? It sounds like a good idea, but I want to know how they'd take care of that.
Sean, thank you so much for your call. Elizabeth Tulin, any thoughts on that?
Well, the bill does provide for a doctor's note if a worker's out 3 consecutive days or more. But what's interesting is even before paid sick days legislation was passed in various jurisdictions throughout Massachusetts, before and after, what we've learned is that workers take, on average, 3 paid sick days, and they're viewing it as insurance. So in a place like San Francisco, where employees in large corporations can take up to 9 a year, the average uptake is 3. What that means is people use it when they need it. Some people are not taking any. Some may need more, but the average is 3.
Bill Vernon, Elizabeth Tulin mentioned that San Francisco is one city in the United States that has recently instituted, I believe in 2007, a paid sick leave law. There's also one in effect in Washington, D.C. Philadelphia, the city council approved one, but then Mayor Michael Nutter, a Democrat, vetoed it, saying that he didn't think it was a good idea and the city council could override that. But they're adjourned until September, so that one's up in the air. Milwaukee also took a shot at it, but Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker then passed a bill saying such municipalities couldn't enact such laws, that it had to be done at the state or national level. So there's sort of a patchwork going on across the United States. But in the San Francisco case, since they're the longest standing one, we've had actually several years to accumulate some data on what the actual economic impact would be. And one institute, at least, the Drum Major Institute, they're from New York, they're a progressive think tank, did a study and found that overall there was basically no net negative impact to businesses once the sick leave law was instituted. So in the face of that, you know, where's your argument that it could have a negative impact on Massachusetts?
Well, first of all, it's a progressive institute. Second of all, it's San Francisco, which we don't think a city is a good example for a state, which has such a wide array of businesses. And I really think that this is what it gets down to, that there is such a wide array. People do not work 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. They do for state government. They do for some businesses, but many, many businesses work in a much more loose fashion. People have part-time jobs. People have seasonal jobs. People work at night. People work different hours. They work 2 or 3 jobs, and that's why this one size fits all is a dangerous thing for Massachusetts. Massachusetts has some of the highest payroll costs in the country. We have some unique things that provide for workers. I mean, to indicate that Massachusetts in some way isn't in partnership with the workers in this state, management and workers, we have a medical security tax that pays for health insurance for unemployed workers. No other state has that. We have a payroll tax that pays for training for incumbent workers. Very few states have that. We have payroll taxes. We have the highest unemployment insurance taxes in the top 3 or 4 in the country.
So in total, are you saying all these things Or is this yet another thing on the back of businesses?
You talk about, $20,000. I mean, it's just one more thing. And small businesses in the state have nothing more to give. There's nothing more to give. We need to start creating jobs and growing this economy.
Okay, Elizabeth Tula, I'm going to get your response from that in just a second. But the callers keep lighting up the board, so let's go back to them. Craig is calling from Worcester. You're on the air, Craig.
Hi, how are you today? Very, very interesting. I was driving back from Boston. I'm a member of one of the trade unions in Boston. And, we're just driving back, and, I'm part of the vanishing middle class, and we're the backbone of American society, the American worker. But the thing in the trade unions is, the work, sometimes you take a layoff in the winter when, you've got 2 feet of snow out there, and so sometimes you get laid off. So that idea of the 50-hour week, getting the credit, for 50 weeks, 40 hours, sometimes in the summer I'll be working 60-plus hours a week, but other times of the year, I mean, we're also contingent on the weather, so if I have a rain day, we get sent home, so we don't get any holiday pay, no sick pay, or no vacation pay. Obviously, as a member of the union, though, in Boston, we do get a fair wage. The hourly working rate's $56 an hour, but when you factor in your pension, your annuity, and health and welfare, what you see in the envelope at $35 an hour, and it's not always a 40-hour week. So, when you have a mortgage and other things like that, it's tough to base it on that. But, it really would be nice to have a sick day if you actually did need it. Obviously, like anything else in society, people are, human nature dictates people are going to abuse it.
Craig, let me just jump in here because you've said a lot of interesting things. And I guess I'm wondering for you, since you don't get any paid sick days right now, say you've got a big construction contract and, you've got maybe 6 to 8 months worth of work ahead of you, knock on wood that happens in this day and age. But if you got that, and, you got the flu or you got sick, you'd only get, over the course of the year, you'd earn 7 days of sick leave under these proposed laws. Would those 7 days actually make a difference to you? Would you be grateful? Would that help you and your family? Or is 7 days, not enough?
Well, I would say that I would like, of course, I'd fall into that. They're probably the one percentile of people who would go many years without actually even using one because you're so used to the old adage is suck it up. I mean, you look at the grandparents' generation, my grandparents' generation, the greatest generation, the people that made this country. They fought the wars. They built the highways. They built this country. Those people had intestinal fortitude. Most of the people you come across today are soft, very soft. And, the pencil pushers in the trailers and the pencil pushers in the offices, these people, there's a general weakness. And I believe that, people will say, oh, they have a little sniffle and say, well, I'm not going to go in. But, I mean, I don't know. I just think of these poor kids in Afghanistan and Iraq that are fighting, getting blown up by these IEDs. And,
they don't really get sick days when they're on the front lines. Craig, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate your perspective. Let's get another call in here from Abraham, who's in Boston's North End. You're on the air, Abraham.
Hi. I am a business owner. I run a 19-person computer services business for the last 10 years, and I offer my employees paid sick days. And the reason I have done that since the very beginning is that I have found that to maintain a profitable business, you need to be able to have customer service, and that is in the hands of your employees who are interacting with the public all the time. So, in fact, if I provide them with something as basic as paid sick days, I am able to reduce my training requirements. I get enormous loyalty. And basically, I am helping not only the employee and my business, but society as a whole as well.
Abraham, thank you so much for your call. So, Bill Vernon, what about this thought that this is a benefit that actually makes a business more attractive to employees?
Well, in Abraham's model, it does and it works, and that's good. And Abraham has the choice to offer that or not offer it. And I would suggest that when you have a state law mandating sick leave, that it restricts the flexibility of other small business owners to give benefits that maybe that their employees would prefer to have, whether it be better health insurance or longer vacation time or higher wages or whatever it is. But Abraham has the flexibility to do that, and I'm glad he does, and I'm glad it works for him.
Let's take another call. Bob is calling from Westwood. You're on the air, Bob.
Hi there. Along the same lines of the previous caller, Abraham has a small business that sounds fairly successful. So shouldn't he be the final arbiter of what he does with his employees? Why should the state mandate this policy amongst him and his employees?
Bob, great question. Elizabeth Tulin, your response to that.
Thanks. Well, I'd just like to return to the public health issue and bring up a case that might help folks understand that this goes beyond the workplace to our children and our schools. One of the witnesses at the hearing on Thursday testified about a child treated at Children's Hospital who has asthma, very severe asthma, and his mother is very skillful in spotting when this child needs care. She takes him promptly on the weekends, and he's treated and basically out the door in 3 hours, getting his medications tweaked. However, if this child has a problem during the work week, she is unable to take him to the hospital for the appropriate care because she's afraid of losing her job. And what ends up happening, it's happened 3 times in the last 18 months with this child. He has ended up in the hospital for 3 days. And you need to multiply that by the number of children in these families of the almost 1 million workers and say to yourself, can we afford that? Can we afford this child to miss that much school? He's a future worker. Can we afford the added health care costs that that brings to us? And then we had Bob Drago testify at the hearing from the Institute of Women's Policy Research, and he talked about the savings for Massachusetts in preventable emergency room visits, $22.7 million. And finally, I just want to return. We have the research. We've done it. The numbers are in. $348 million annually, a benefit to employers of paid sick days. And my question is, why would anybody have a problem with that?
Well, I guess the question, my response to you is in the form of a question, and that is just to return to a point that Bill Vernon made a little bit earlier, and maybe I think the caller was trying to get at too, and that's the issue of why have a blanket policy statewide for all employers, because in Connecticut, as we mentioned before, the law kicks in only for businesses with 50 employees and more. And also, let's not forget, I mean, Massachusetts is a unique state in the nation. We do have other mandates that businesses have to follow, you know, including, our state health care law, which all businesses 50 employees and above have to provide something for their employees. So I guess the word that Bill Vernon uses is the one-size-fits-all mm-hmm. problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of things that you should consider that I hope listeners will also. First of all, it's important to look at the fact that this benefit is not a job killer, just the opposite. It's the lack of paid sick days that's the job killer. The next is a lot of these claims that are being made here in Massachusetts and elsewhere have been disproved. What we saw happen in San Francisco is after it was in effect, business opponents have reversed their position. And now what we've learned is that 2 in 3 employers in San Francisco say they support the local law. And 6 in 7 businesses say that the law has had no effect on profitability. I think that you can't ignore that. Mm. That's the data. We have done the research, okay? The other thing is we've got to look at, is this a public policy that goes beyond, you know, the individual business owner and is calling out for enactment because of the public health issues at stake and the need today? We have 2 parents working in most families, and they are doing their best. They have, in Massachusetts, they've got health care, and yet they can't use it because they can't take time to go to a regular well visit or go to the doctor promptly when at the first sign of illness. So we have to look at those issues impacting the whole Commonwealth.
Well, Paula writes on our website, WBUR.org. She says, I work at an espresso bar, and if one of us falls sick, there is no incentive for us to stay home. We lose money, and we have to find our own replacement. So that's the perspective from one employee there. I'd like to sort of settle this conversation in the last few minutes or settle down in what, you know, for me is really the big question. And that is, you know, we can set this up in a businesses versus workers dichotomy. It's an easy way to look at it. But the solution certainly cannot be that simple. I'm wondering if there's any common ground that the two of you have where you could say some sort of state intervention would be positive for both employees and employers. Because, I mean, to be honest, the United States is quite far behind a lot of other countries on this matter. And there does seem to be some, you know, upswell in interest in paid sick leave. But is there a way forward that you can see that wouldn't be terribly damaging to businesses or entirely unjust to workers? Bill Vernon.
I think that, unfortunately, what this law does is it makes Massachusetts competitively at a disadvantage vis-a-vis other states, and we cannot afford to do that any longer in Massachusetts. We need a vibrant economy, not only in Massachusetts, but across the country. And frankly, the United States has historically been a much more vibrant country than economically than some of the countries that may have sick leave and other much larger time off benefits than we do have in this country historically. So it's a difficult issue. As I said, I think small businesses work this out every day of the week. They have for years, and that's the best place for it to be resolved.
Elizabeth Tulin, if there were some modification to the proposals and say truly small businesses with 50 employees or less being exempt, would you be okay with that?
That's way too much for Massachusetts, but I want to point out that there are adjustments to the bill that can be made that could be modeled on some of the work that's been done in Seattle, where they have a wonderful bill that has had the input of the business community. You can have in San Francisco, they've done the same thing where they have a benefit for small employers that's different than the benefit for the larger employers. So definitely, and we know the Labor Committee is very interested in hearing from the business community on that, and we're working very closely with them and looking at adjustments to the bill that could be made to address the concerns of small business owners.
Come see me when Washington State and California adopt the bill.
Okay. Well, both of you, Elizabeth Tulin and Bill Vernon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Margaret.
And listeners, you can always send us your thoughts on this conversation at radioboston.org. We've got to take a quick break. And up next, the Museum of Fine Arts sends half a sculpture back to Turkey. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.